Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Today, have a seat, get your Bible out. We're in Colossians chapter number 3. Pastor Jim made a statement a couple weeks ago when he was on assignment the weekend after Easter. And you know, we go line upon line, precept upon precept. So we're just going verse by verse through a book in the Bible that we've chosen. We chose to go through Colossians. And so he made this statement, when you go line upon line and precept upon precept, sometimes you hit verses that are difficult, but you got to hit them because you're going verse by verse. And he said these words, thankfully, I got some good verses this weekend. Well, I'm going, okay, God, here we go. It's Mother's Day weekend. And so I'm looking in the scriptures to see where we're going. And we're going to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5 through verse number 9. So I read it, and it says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouths. Verse number 9, do not lie to one another since you put off the old man with his deeds. I said, God, how on earth am I going to preach a Mother's Day message out of these verses right here? And the Lord said, don't you see it's right there in front of you? I said, you got to be kidding me, God. Come on, like, this is not. And so I'm thinking, maybe I can go to Deborah in the Old Testament. Maybe I can do something else. Maybe we can talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. He said, preach in Colossians. That is a great Mother's Day message right there. I said, what are you talking about? And then it hit me. I looked at it. See, I titled the message, Disciplines for a New Day. But there could be a subtitle. There could have been a different title for this weekend. And here's the title that I thought of, is that things that my mother taught me. Anybody have a mama that taught you something growing up? Anybody can say, I'm so grateful that my mama taught me some things as I grew up. See, I was one of the people that are blessed to have a good mother and a good father in the house. People who raised me, people who talked to me, people who cared about me and loved me, people who showed me the right way and also taught me the wrong way. And when I look in Colossians and I see what's taking place, I see some things that my mama taught me. Things like this, the house rules. Anybody have house rules at your house, right? I go to some people's houses, and one of the house rules is take your shoes off right there at the door. We got white carpet in this house. Mama likes white carpet, and so you're going to take your shoes off before you can even enter. I'm always like, thank goodness that my sock game is on point today, you know, and so I take off my shoes, and I walk in the house. Other homes, you walk in, and one of the house rules is that no guest will have an empty cup, right? You walk in, they hand you a cup of water or soda or something like that, and they're offering you the world. Would you like a sandwich? I'll make you a sandwich right now. I got turkey. I've got beef. What do you like? I'll peanut butter and jelly guy? I got you. You know what I mean? And that's one of the house rules is just everybody's going to be eating. Everybody's going to be having fun. You know, some people say play hard, love hard, laugh hard, pray hard. You know, they got all that stuff up on the wall, all that kind of stuff. But there's some house rules. At our house, we have rules. You know, our daughter is now a teenager, and so we've been blessed that, you know, we don't got to go find a babysitter any longer. I'll pay my daughter, right? Man, it helps her to feel good, and then we're not searching around. She can take authority in the house while we're gone, and the boys respect her and love her, and so it's a good thing. But one of the house rules is when mom and dad are out, you're not answering the door. Plain and simple, if we're gone, you don't answer the door. You hide. The curtains are all down, right? You go and no one's home, right? And just let them go, all right? They'll leave. You turn down the TV, all that kind of stuff, right? You're not answering the door. Another one is this. No cooking while we're gone. Why? Because I've had that video reel play in my head that mom and dad leave and the kids say, I'm going to make scrambled eggs. And then as they're making the scrambled eggs, somebody drips something on the side of eggs run over, and then they take the towel and they wipe it there and they leave it sitting next to the flame, and then the towel lights on fire, and then they're running around not knowing what to do with the fire, and they don't know about the fire extinguisher that's right there in the pantry, you know, and so they're running around and embers are dropping everywhere that they go, and then there's this towering inferno. Any parents know what I'm talking about? You have these little weird video reels that play in your head, and then all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call from the fire department. We saved the house and the kids, they're all right, you know, but it's a total loss. Oh my goodness, you know? And so one of our house rules is no cooking while mom and dad are gone. We all have house rules. My mom taught me some house rules. How many of you guys had rules that went outside of the house? You know what I'm talking about? Whenever I would go to someone else's house, my mom specifically would look me and she'd get my attention. She'd say, listen, you're going over to someone new's house? Okay, here's what you're going to do. When you walk into that house, you are going to greet their mother and their father. I don't care if they're busy. I don't care if they're busy. You make sure that they know that you're there. You're going to look them in the eye. You're going to thank them for allowing you to come over. You're going to say hello. You're going to call them Mr. and Mrs. Sir and Ma'am. You're going to be respectful. If they tell you to do something, you're going to do it. And listen, if they start messing around, that kid starts messing around, doing something that you know is wrong, you are coming home. You call me, you run, you do whatever you got. And it's like, okay, mom, okay, gosh. No, listen, listen. You don't ask for food when you're there. You wait until they ask you if you're hungry, and then you can say yes. And whatever they put in front, you better eat it. You better eat all of it. Yes, mom, gosh, you just told me this yesterday when I went to a new friend's house. You know? But every time, she made sure that I knew the house rules and that those rules extended beyond the house. You know, one of the criticisms of Christianity is that it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. I've heard people say that, oh, you guys don't have any fun. God's just this cosmic killjoy. The Bible's just a book of do's and don'ts. You know you can find do's and don'ts in the Bible? Colossians chapter 3, we just read a whole lot of them. Put to death, don't do these things, right? Put off, don't do it. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, blasphemy, all that kind of stuff. Put it off. You don't do that. Now, we get mad about the things that we can't do because we feel like God doesn't want us to have any fun. But in the same way, are we mad at the DMV in the state of California for our driving rules? They keep us from crashing head on into somebody, don't they? Here's a good do. Do drive inside the lines, right? That's why they taught you how to color inside the lines, because one day they knew you were going to be driving and they want you to drive inside the lines. How about this don't? Don't drive off a cliff. I'd say that's a pretty good one, right? Why would we say that? Because we don't want you to die. We want you to live. We want you to enjoy and get from point A to point B. In the same way, I tell my kids, do this and don't do that. Why? Because I love them and I want the best for those. There are times, and my son is sitting on the front row over here and he will probably be shaking his head up and down. Yes, I know what dad is talking about. Because we have had moments where I've had to correct and discipline my children and I tell them, listen, if you act like this in marriage, if you act like this when you're on the job, if you act like this with your friend, you are going to be divorced, fired, and have no friends if you act like this. Therefore, don't do that. Oh, dad, I know, right? But here's why, because I love them and I want them to have a great marriage. That's why I tell them don't act like that, because I want you to have a great marriage. That's why I tell them do act like this, because I want them to have long-lasting friendships. That's why I tell them work hard and don't talk back. Do this, but don't do that. Why? Because I want them to be able to keep a job and have a career and provide for their home and their family when they grow up. These do's and don'ts that we find in the book of Colossians are not to hinder you from having fun. They're to help you to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication. What is that? Sex outside of marriage. Don't do it. Don't have sex with someone else's spouse. That's not for you. That's for them. That's their covenant. Don't have sex with an animal. It's called bestiality. Can we talk in this church? Listen, one thing you're going to give this church is the truth. We're real. Fornication, uncleanness. What is that? Impurity. Things that defile, right? Passion, evil desire. Now, it's one thing to be passionate about God and to be zealous for the Lord, but another thing about the evil. Evil is anything contrary to the will and the way of God, and covetousness, the greedy desire for things. Look at what it says, which is idolatry. God doesn't want anything to get in the way of your relationship with him. So he says, put to death those things. But then drop down to verse number 8, and he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. That's things that we have with other people, right? If you blow up, just yesterday, I was on the phone with my wife, my beautiful, lovely, wonderful wife, and as we're talking, something just lit me up and an outburst. I could tell that was a pressure point. That was a stress point. And I blew up. It was like a pinprick on a balloon. I just, bam, I was instant 0 to 60 anger in a moment. And I had to stop and I realized, whoa, 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 I got to put this off. This is not fitting for me. This is not godly. This is not what I should be doing. And I called myself down on the phone. I said, listen, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have blown up on you. That's not for you. That's something going on inside of me. I'm going to pray that off right now. And I cast my cares on the Lord and was able to move forward. Blasphemy, what is that? That is taking the name of God and the reputation of God and dragging it through the mud. He says, we don't do that anymore. We don't talk down about God, and we don't talk down about his church, which is his bride. You talk about my wife, you're going to have to deal with me. You blaspheme the church of God, you're going to have to deal with him. Filthy language. Well, I'm a Christian, but I cuss a little. No, no. No, no, no. You got to put off that old way, right? That's not for you anymore. Filthy language no longer belongs. Telling dirty jokes there at the water cooler, at the coffee pot, or online. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. That language no longer is a part of our vocabulary. We now have a new language. There's a new dialect that we speak. It's heaven's tongue. Do not lie to one another. What are we doing as Christians lying? Trying to build ourselves up to be something that we're not. No, don't lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. These are just some house rules, just some things to live life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 says this, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Notice daddy will give the command, hey, kids, get in line. But it was mama's rules, right? Do not forsake the law of your mother. Verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. I love how the Message paraphrase says, put it on like a scarf that everywhere you go, it goes with you. Verse 22, when you roam, they will lead you. When they sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. Anybody have your mama's voice in your head when you leave the house? Are you wearing clean underwear? You know it's true. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Sometimes we hate getting corrected, don't we? I never liked it growing up. I never liked it when my dad would sit me down and reason with me through a problem and I would realize I was wrong. I didn't like being wrong, and yet I'm so grateful that he did that. Never liked it when my mom would yell at me and tell me that I was out of order, out of line, and discipline me and ground me and all that kind of stuff. Never liked that, and yet I'm so grateful that she did. Why? Because that was a way of life to me. It kept me from so many things that could have destroyed me and devastated me just because of some house rules that they kept going. You know, there was a great mama in history. Her name is Susanna Wesley. Many of you guys don't know who that is, but maybe you've heard the name John Wesley, or how about his brother, Charles Wesley? These guys are attributed with a revival in England that hundreds of thousands of people were affected by. In fact, maybe you've heard of the Wesleyan Church, or maybe you've heard of the Methodist Church, because these guys were methodical in their approach to the scriptures and the way that they worship God. They got that from their mama, Susanna. And these two men, John Wesley himself, it's estimated he traveled over 250,000 miles by foot or on horseback and preached some 40,000 messages in his time. Wow. How about his brother Charles? His brother Charles was the older brother, had the Holiness Club that John was a part of, and a guy by the name of George Whitfield that many of you guys know preached out in the open air that they adopted his style later on. And here, Charles Wesley was a hymnist and a psalmist and a songwriter, and he wrote in his lifetime some 6,500 hymns and songs and psalms. In fact, we still sing some of them today. Maybe you've heard of the Christmas carol, Angels We Have Heard on High. How about this one? Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Right, I can't sing like those guys. I'm sorry. But we still sing his songs today, hundreds of years later. Why? Because they had a mama who prayed for them. They had a mama who raised them in the ways of the Lord. See, their dad was a godly man, but he defected from the church and ended up spending some time in jail. And so mama had to raise all the kids by herself. She had 18 children. By the time she died, though, only 8 of them were alive. Just a different time, a different day, a different age. And yet with each child, she'd spend 1 hour a week with each child individually talking to them about the things of God. Every week, she would pray for them, each of them, for 1 hour of her week. She would be on her knees praying for her children. Every week, she would take them to church. And one day, she went to church and the sermon was on something like accounting or something crazy like that. And she said, this is not good for the kids. And so every afternoon on Sundays, she would have a Bible study with her children. She would sit down and she would teach them from the Word. She grabbed her husband's old sermons and she would break them out. And she would teach them to the kids methodically and systematically. And so she was raising up the kids. In fact, her little afternoon Bible study, people started hearing about it and got invited over and they started coming. Eventually, she had 200 people come into her afternoon Bible study. That was more people than were attending that church every morning. She's an amazing woman of God, and John and Charles Wesley are who they are because mama had some house rules and was making sure that the kids were raised up right. Second thing is this, things my mother taught me. Second thing is that sin will be punished. Do you ever have your mom say these words to you? Just wait until your father gets home. Oh man, I dreaded those words. Because I knew that even though, especially as a teenager, I was bigger, taller than mama and thought I knew everything, that when my father got home, it was not going to be good for me, right? Or like the Bible says, it will not go well with you, right? I just knew, and this is going to be bad. And so there was that anticipation and that terror of dad coming home. Why? Because delayed discipline is not denied discipline. It's going to happen. In fact, I remember one time when I was a child, we were at Bob's Big Boy. Anybody remember Bob's Big Boy? If you don't, let me refresh your memory with a picture of the big boy on the overhead screens behind me. You remember this guy? Oh man, as a child, I used to love going to Bob's Big Boy because I'd slap his belly. I'd try and climb up his back and touch his hair. I never could get a hold of those brown locks, man, that curl on the front. I always wanted to grab that curl. Never could get there. But man, we loved Bob's Big Boy. Loved getting a hamburger as a kid there. We'd go out to eat every now and then. And so I remember one time we were coming out of the restaurant. As we're coming out, I slapped Bob on the belly as we were walking by. And then I started acting crazy in the parking lot. I don't remember specifically what I was doing. I was a little guy, you know? And my dad had this way about him when we were messing up and when he had warned us enough that he went for the belt. Okay? Some of you guys think of that as cruel and unusual punishment. As a child, listen, I lived, I survived, and I'm grateful for it. But man, he had this one-hand motion. Many of you guys know my dad. He's still in this church today. He's a wonderful man of God, and I love him for disciplining me. But he had this way. He would grab that belt, and I don't even know how he did it. In just one moment, you know, it was completely undone, and he'd rip the whole thing out like, you know, Hi-Ho Silver away. You know, it was like this lasso. He's about ready to, you know, Indiana Jones or something like that. And so he did, and the pants never fell down. You know, he didn't need the belt for the pants. I think he needed the belt to beat us with, you know. So it was like, and then he's chasing me around the parking lot of Bob's Big Boy saying, get over here. You know, you just shout out. You know, and I'm just going, you know, running around the parking lot. And finally, my dad yells after me. He says, son, you need to get over here and get your whipping. Because you may be faster than me, but I can outlast you. I got more stamina than you do. Eventually, I'll catch up to you and I'll get you. Just come over and get it right now. Now, as I'm running, I'm reasoning on the inside of myself. Is he bluffing? I wasn't old enough to call the bluff yet. You know what I mean? It was like, dad, you know, he never lies. So I guess this is going to happen. So I went over and I got my whipping. At the time, I was such a rebellious son that I said, didn't hurt. My dad said, you want me to make it hurt? We're good. I'll be over here licking my wounds, you know? But see, sin will be punished. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 6 and verse number 7 says this. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God, because of what things? Because of the adulteries and the fornication and all those things that are contrary to the ways of God, evil desires, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Those are people who are unwilling to repent and lay down their lives before Jesus Christ. These are the sons of disobedience. And then he points out, lest we get arrogant about our position or ourselves, he says, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. See, we used to be sons of the devil. We used to be a people who had rejected God and were living in our sin, and the wrath of God was being stored up. If you want to scare yourself out of sin, read the book of 1 Romans, the first chapter of Romans. It talks about all this stuff. It talks about God giving people over to their debased thinking. It talks about the wrath of God being stored up for disobedience. There will come a day. See, just because the wicked prosper now doesn't mean that they're going to prosper in their future. It will not go well with them in eternity. And we need to understand that when the wicked prosper, that's the only joy, that's the only prosperity, that's the only goodness they're going to see in their lifetime, because it's only temporary here on the earth. The judgment is coming, and we need to understand that it is real and that it is going to happen and that there will be an account that's given. And judgment starts with the house of God. Don't mess with God. Sin will be punished. Now, for us as Christians, we understand that if you are in Christ, then on the cross, Jesus Christ took the punishment for your sin. Now, that doesn't mean you won't be held accountable for your actions. The Bible says we will give an account of what we've done, whether evil or whether good, while we're here in the body. But the judgment for your sin has been poured out on Jesus on the cross. That is the propitiation. Jesus has satisfied God's violated justice by turning away his wrath with a substitutionary sacrifice. See, his vicarious sacrifice on the cross took our place. There was an exchange that was made. That was the atonement that was given for us. Our life for his life. Our cross he took, but then his life he gave. And therefore, we are now in Christ, and now the punishment and the penalty for our sin has been taken out on Jesus on the cross. Now, does that mean that we should go on sinning? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Therefore, that's why we persuade man. That's why we tell people about Jesus. That's why we continue to preach and to teach as we do. But what about Christians? What about when we mess up? What about when we sin? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us that God chastens or he disciplines those that he loves. And therefore, we are legitimate children of God when we have that chastening. What does that look like? Is God going to put sickness on you? Is he going to kill a baby? Is he going to put cancer on you in order to discipline you? No. God is not the author of those things. We live in a fallen world. The devil is very active on the earth today. And we have bodies that are still in a fallen state. And so that's why the cancer, that's why the problem came. That's why the sickness came. Okay? But that doesn't mean that God won't use situations and circumstances to speak to us, to get our attention, and to lead us in the direction he wants us to go. So what does chastening look like? It's when you mess up, your conscience smites you. Your conscience tells you, ooh, that was not good. That was not right. That's part of the chastening of God. You hear the word of God telling you, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. You should repent. At times, it may be that the chastening of God is that you had communion and fellowship with God, and then when there was a breach and you grieved the Spirit of God, that he backs off of you. Where you used to hear his voice, where it used to be easy, where you used to pray and just get all this stuff from God. Now that you have sinned and breached that relationship, God just says, hey, take a breath, take a minute, right? And as you're struggling, as you forget, you've forgotten those things and now you've gotten into sin and now you start to remember and you start to say, man, I need to get back with God. I need the presence of God. I need to hear the voice of God. That's the chastening of the Lord. God will discipline you when you're in sin. Why? Because he's a loving father and we need to all remember things our mama taught us that sin will be punished. Last one for us today is this, is that old clothes need to be discarded. Now I put in parentheses, old ways need to be discarded. One of the things that we did in our house every summertime right after the end of the school year and every September before the start of the new school year was we had to try on every piece of clothing that fit us in the house. Anybody else had to do that every year, right? Maybe multiple times a year. Why did you do that? Because it just no longer fit. You know, you love that pair of pants and they were the best pair of pants ever when you first got them, but now that you're having to suck everything in and button it now and mom, look, it still fits. She's like, get that off. No, that's going into the donate bin, right? Why? Because it doesn't fit anymore. And other things are out of style. They no longer work. And so therefore you just had to go through the clothes every year. But it, as bad as it was to try on all these clothes and see what fit and what didn't fit and do all that process. And you had the big black trash bags all over the place and all that kind of stuff. But it felt even better to get the new clothes, didn't it? Because then, man, oh, look at this. I'm going to school with some new sneaks on. Hey, everybody, how was your summer, right? Your summer all good? Your summer, yeah, you had fun? Hey, look how fast I can run, you know? It was just kind of like one of those things. You were just, man, it was just awesome. You just love getting new clothes. I remember when we got married, my wife and I, we got married, we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, went to Bible college while we were out there. We had to dress up for school. It was one of those schools that they had a dress code, and they would actually check you on the way in and scan you up and down, make sure that you were in dress code, and if you weren't, you got sent back home and you were late to school that day because you had to change. And so I had, you know, my standard pairs of pants and shirts and ties and all that kind of stuff that I wore. And I had one pair of pants that I especially loved. They were so comfortable. I would have worn them every day if I could have. They were brown corduroy pants. And no, I did not get them from the 1970s. Maybe I did. I think I bought them at a thrift store. But I just loved them. In fact, I had wore those pants so much that certain areas had kind of wore out. You know what I'm saying? And they'd kind of like the corduroy fuzz and all that had been gone and was on its way out, you know? And so there were some wear areas on those pants, but I loved them, man. They were so comfortable, so cozy. I thought they looked good with everything. And so my wife's like, you should throw those out. You know, those are just old and busted. You just need to move on. And I'm like, honey, these are the most comfortable pants in the world. I love these pants. And I started to get keen on it. I said, don't you dare. Don't you touch my pants. And she's like, no, it's fine, whatever, you know. And so one day, I'm going through the closet getting dressed for school. And I said, honey, have you seen my pants? She says, what pants? I said, you know what pants I'm talking about. Have you seen my brown corduroy pants? The ones that I love. Honey, it's time to move on. You threw away, and I'm going through the trash can now. You threw away my brown corduroy pants. She says, they're not there. Oh my goodness, what are you doing to me? She said, I will get you a new pair of pants. I don't want a new pair of pants. I want my brown corduroy pants. She said, they gone. But see, there are certain things that are no longer fitting for us as Christians. We got to put off those old ways, put to death, throw it in the trash. It is gone now. And there are other things that are not fitting any longer for us. They're out of fashion. They're out of style. That's why I said the language, the anger, the wrath. You know, sometimes when non-Christians are telling Christians how they should be acting, why is that? Because they have a sense of what's fashionable for Christians based on what they know of the house rules. See, these are things that are do's and don'ts, not just for, you know, the reason that God wants to be mean-spirited and a killjoy. No, God wants you to look good. God wants you to feel good. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have the best life possible. And therefore, those old clothes, those old ways, those old things that were dragging you down that now you're ashamed of, hey, listen, it's time to get rid of them. It's time to take those things off. And if you tried them on and they don't fit any longer, hey, get rid of it. God's got something new for you. He's got a robe of righteousness. He's got a belt of truth. He's got some feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's got garments of praise that he wants to put on you. There are some things that God wants you looking good and feeling good, but we got to put off that old stuff. Got to get discard the old ways and that old clothes that we were wearing before. Put those things out and put them off, and now get on the new man. Get clothed in Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 through verse number 25 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will delight in him. Verse 25, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Can we pray together today? Come on, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we're so grateful in this place that you have given us your righteousness. You've given us Jesus Christ, who we are now to put on, that we are to clothe ourselves with Christ. Thank you, Father, for the new life that we have. And God, as we look to you, Lord, and you've given us the house rules, we pray that we would live a life that's worthy of our calling in our Lord Jesus Christ. That, Father God, that we would not enter into sin, but that, God, we would forsake those things, and those old ways. And so, Father, we love you and we give you thanks. We give you praise. God, if there's any way in us, Lord, would you just search our hearts right now? Try us. There's something that we're wearing that's unfitting. There's something that's on us that's unfashionable. God, would you just reveal that to our hearts right now? We want to repent. We want to take those things off. We want to put on the new man in Christ. If God's speaking to you right now, put in some areas on your heart, maybe you feel some conviction, that's okay. That's actually an expression of the love of God. Would you just take a moment and write down what God is speaking to you about? If God's speaking to you right now, just write it down. Commit it to a note. Put pen to paper or maybe a text in your notes on your phone or your tablet. Just make sure to write it down, because God wants you to remember those things. He wants you to work on those things. He loves you enough to reveal it to you. Maybe you're here with a faith-filled friend, or maybe you're here with your spouse. Would you just share that with them if you feel comfortable? Would you just tell them about it? Hey, God spoke this to me. Would you keep me accountable? Would you ask me how I'm doing with this? Would you help me to change? Just share that with them right now. Father, we commit to you everything that you've committed to us. We're grateful, Lord. Grateful for Jesus. Grateful for this place today, God. Grateful for the word of God that's come to all of us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our moms. Thank you for the things that they taught us. And God, for those of us that maybe didn't have a mom growing up, didn't have that influence in our life, or she's gone on, we thank you, Lord, that now you're in that place, that you're leading us and guiding us in your truth, in your will, and in your way. In Jesus' name. If you just keep your heads down and your eyes closed for a moment, I just want to talk to you for a couple minutes before we let you go today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.